the problem in firing workers. But the first time we said that from Rav Moshe, that if you hire a worker without specifying a time, a secretary, a dental assistant, according to Rav Moshe, the time is perpetual. There's no time limit, and you can't fire them because it's like you hire them forever. The Chazon Ish said it depends on what the pay period is, but that was my focus. Last week we spoke about positions of Swara, principal, a chazan, a shamish, possibly a doctor, who, even if their time contract came up, they have their contract renewed automatically, because that's no worse than if they, if Achar Me'ev Esrim, they die. The halacha is a position of Suara is taken over by the children, so if the child can inherit the position of his father, certainly the father can inherit his own position after his first time period is up. So that was the din of Suara. Now, all that was talking when there was no reason to fire them. So tonight I'd like to talk about possible reasons when it would be permitted to fire a worker for various problems. So the case we'll talk about is Reuven had a shoe store which was doing well, and he hired a new worker, Shimon, and all of a sudden he saw sales were dropping, or at least the bottom line was dropping, and he suspected that Shimon was a ganav. Shimon was stealing. So is he allowed to fire Shimon on that basis? Suppose Reuven wants to fire Shimon because Shimon not stealing. Shimon's doing something else wrong. He hears Shimon is cheating on his taxes, or he hears Shimon it doesn't go to shul on Shabbos. Right? Or suppose he doesn't like Shimon. Shimon didn't invite him to his bar mitzvah, and he got angry at Shimon and said, "I'm your boss. You don't invite me to your bar mitzvah, and you want to work here." Can he fire Shimon on that basis? So really the question boils down to maybe it's three questions. First of all, if you know he's stealing, are you allowed to fire him? Probably, obviously, yes. The second question is, suppose you don't know for sure, what type of evidence do you need to have the right to fire Shimon? And then the third question is, suppose there's some outside reason you want to fire Shimon, right? He didn't invite you, he's not going to shul on Shabbos, unrelated to work, right. Can you fire him on those grounds? So let's start with the Gemara Bava Kama. Chok Ches Amid Aleph. This is where it all starts from. The Gemara is talking about the Shaila. If you know that someone owes you money, can you take the law into your own hands and not wait for the Bezdin to take care of it? I know that he owes me, so I'm going to go in his backyard. I saw he left out his wallet, and I'll pull out the $50, and I'll say, okay, that money that you owe me, don't worry, I took care of. Are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara wants to bring a proof from the din of a nirtza. Right? A nirtza is an eved ivri who had worked for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, he says he likes it, the situation where he is. He likes his master. He likes his wife that he gave him, possibly. So then he gets his ear pierced. He's a nirtza against the door. And he works until Yovel. Now, along comes Yovel, and he says, I still want to stay. But he's not, the halacha is, he can't anymore. So what happens if he wants to stay? Minayin, the Brisa says, the nirtza shekolel yamav, that nirtza his days ended, Yovel came, v'rabam esarivo latzeis, and his master was trying to force him out the door. It's over. You have to leave now. And by doing that, v'chaval, v'asav v'chabura, he wounded him, pushing him out the door. So how do you know, shul pater, that the master is pater for such a wound? Tamalam, the pasuk says, "Lasicha kofer l'shuv," and we make a drasha, "Lasicha kofer l'shav." You don't get payment for someone who's trying to come back when he shouldn't be coming back. So the Gemara proves from here that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, right? He's not supposed to stay, and instead of calling the Bezdin to force him out, you forced him out. So the Gemara says, "No." Here we're talking about Hachamaskian the Abda Ganava. Here we're talking about an Eved who's a thief. And if you don't get him out right away, he's going to steal it from you. So that's why you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. It's not because you have to get him out, then you don't have no way for Bezdin, you can force him out. Here, it's talking that if you don't get him out now, he's going to steal from you. the same halachobi, if he's going to chas v'shalom hurt you, you can certainly force him out. So the Gemara asks, what kind of case is this? He's been with you for 50 years, and now all of a sudden he's stealing, you're worried that he's stealing, what did you do until now? So the Gemara says, until now he was working for you, you were his master, so he was afraid of you, he wouldn't steal. Hashta, but now that he's free, he doesn't have that fear anymore, so there is now the possibility that he's going to get back to his ways of being a robber, so you are allowed to push him out. Okay, that's the Gemara. So what's that have to do with us? So the Mordechai, the Rishon over there in Baba Kama, learns from here. It's the next thing on the handout. The Rishon says that this didn't have to be talking about a case where the Nirtza had finished his term and got pushed out. It could have been talking where you were suspecting him of stealing in the middle of the term. Right, the Gemara just said, the normal way is, if it's in the middle, he's afraid of his master, he won't steal. But the same halacha would have been, if he had become a robber in the middle, you saw that he was stealing, so then also you could force him to leave in the middle. And then he says, Kolshkin, Adam Diyama Shiyotel of Shame Shehugandam. Certainly, if a person, not an Eved, another person who's working for you and there's a rumor that he is a Ganav, you're allowed to fire in the middle of the term. That's what the Mordechai says. And the Ramah Paskins is, the last thing on the first page of the handout, Mishayesh Lemisharis, if someone has a servant, a worker, V'choshesh Yignovlo, and he suspects that he will rob him, Yochol Hotzio Kodesh Manas Chiris, he's allowed to fire him before the term has ended. V'Misharev, and if he refuses, Yochol HaKas HaShayetz, he can hit him until he leaves. Right? So that is getting us on the right track over here. Right? We see from here that there's a certain halacha when you see that your worker is stealing, that you can get rid of him even though it's in the middle. It's the middle of the job.
What does it mean
of shash? What's the
mean of
shash? Yeah, so that's where we're going to spend the next section here. Any Rav? Right, the Mordechai said a kolshkein even, a kolshkein adam diyama. He said any worker, so, I mean, they talk about the lashon that by here he says choshesh migneva, and the other case it's yotzel of shame shuganim, it's a rumor that he's a ganav. Is there a difference in halacha? I mean, the Erech Shai, which we're going to speak out, says that they're pretty much the same. But the Erech Shai starts by saying, the Erech Shai on this halacha in choshen mishpat says that this halacha applies only where we know you're stealing. But if the worker denies stealing, he says, I'm not a robber, the balabais is not allowed to say that he is a ganav. And what's the reason? Because if you're allowed to just say, and you're the employer, you can just say, call this guy a robber, you're a thief, I'm firing you, so then he says that no one's ever going to have any job. Because as soon as a better worker comes into town, and you want to get rid of the worker you have, you're not allowed to just say, I'm sorry, I have something better, I want you to leave, but I'll call you a ganav. You're a ganav, I want you to leave, and I'm going to hire this one. No one's going to have any job security, because as soon as the employer has any reason to fire someone, he'll just say, you're a ganav. So the Erech Shai proves from this, you can't just fire him. You have to have, his lesson is that, he says you have to have a clear proof, but he says you don't have to have Edim Kasher and Mamish, you don't have to have Kasher Edim, they don't have to be real witnesses. Rak Mevara Pi Krovim, you can rely on relatives. Right? Even if you have relatives in the, right, the Misharis, your son, your daughter see that they say that they see this worker stealing, or you're in your store, you have two workers who are related to you, even though they're related to you or to each other, they say that he's stealing. So that's enough. You don't have to have two kosher witnesses. Or if you can convince the Besen that you have enough circumstantial evidence to prove that he's stealing, right? It's enough that the Besen can see that, yeah, I think you're right. So then you can fire him. That's when you have a right to suspect him. Right, so the Erech Shai says there has to be proof. It doesn't have to be proof like regular Choshen Mishpat Halachas, but there has to be witnesses, or at least a Raglayim Ledavar. That's an interesting exchange between the Svarim. The Divrei Gaonim I think we've seen the sefer before. As another sefer Choshen Mishpat said that the Aruch Shai just got printed and on Choshen Mishpat, and I see he made a mistake in Simon Tavchav Aleph in the Simon we're talking about. He said that you need witnesses. But why didn't he look at the source of the halacha? The source of the halacha is this Mordechai in Baba Kama, and the Mordechai said, even if it's just a rumor, even if there's a chash, right? How can he say they need to have proof? The Mordechai, which is the source of this Rama, says, even if it's just a rumor, there's a rumor that the guy's a ganav, right? You have a worker, and rumors are going around that he's stealing. Aruch Shai wrote another sefer, which we've spoken about in the past, and that's the Tshuvas Shai, his Tshuvas. So, in his Tshuvas sefer, he says, V'divrei Gaonim wrote against me in my Aruch Shai, and he didn't understand what I meant. Because when I said that you need a Raglayim Ledavar, rumors are Raglayim Ledavar. I meant that there should be some substance to your charge that he's stealing. That substance, I said, didn't have to be kosher witnesses, but should be some witnesses. Or I said it could be a raglai in the davar. And if there's a rumor that's not stopping, right, a rumor that you have no reason to believe was started by his enemy, or if there's a rumor, that's enough of a raglai in the davar if the Bezdin sees so. Right, as the Bezdin will have to weigh the situation. They'll look into, is this rumor substantial enough to be a true suspicion that he is a thief or not? So if it is, so then we can go back to this reason there, which I said in the beginning, that I didn't hire you on the condition that you might end up being a thief, or that there might be a rumor that you're a thief. Even that, I didn't want you here for that. I hired you as a normal worker. If there's a rumor that you're a thief, that's already a breach of the contract on your side, and you can fire the worker based on that. Okay, so that's the first thing. So your worker, if you can have some substantial reason to suspect him of being a thief, so then you have a right to fire him in the middle of his term, just like the Rama said. Right? It's a little bit of a to-do, how much that proof that has to be, but even the Aruch Shai at the end admits that it doesn't have to be real testimony, it could be even a rumor, a normal rumor, a strong rumor, not just something that you can attribute to, he just pinched someone's foot by accident, and then the next day you hear a rumor that he's a thief. It has to be a rumor that doesn't stop. Okay, suppose you don't have any rumor. Right? There's no rumor, you're just suspicious right now. You want to find out what's going on here. Ever since I hired him, things are going bad. Are you allowed to take testimony from other workers about this Shimon? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is, right, you're asking Levi and Yehuda, do you know anything about Shimon? So there's a good chance that Levi and Yehuda want to be good in your eyes, and they'll say, yeah, we know that he's a big problem. And they might be nogei of a davar and giving you that testimony. Right? So what do you say? Can you trust a worker to testify about a co-worker? That's the Shaila. There's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, and I was hoping that I would give this year a couple weeks ago, be fit the parsha, but I didn't think it was worth skipping steps. So the Aruch Chaim in Shlach Lecha asked the Kasha. When the Meraglim came back, 10 of them said that the land is terrible. Yeshua and Kalev said the land was good, and Klal Yisrael went and were ready to stone Yeshua and Kalev because they're liars. So the Aruch Chaim asks, there's a halacha that when you have witnesses, as soon as you have two kosher witnesses, they are as good as 100. So it's Trei Kameya, two witnesses like 100. So what right do they have to believe 10 Meraglim over the 2 Meraglim? The Aruch Chaim answers, it wasn't 2 against 10 because Yeshua was Pasul Le'edus, because he was Moshe's servant. And a servant can't testify for his master because he's no Gavadavar. Right? They're arguing whether Moshe Rabbeinu was right. Moshe says it's a good land to go to. So 10 witnesses say he's wrong, and 2 witnesses say that he's right. But one of those 2 witnesses is Yehoshua, who's his servant, and a servant is Pasul to be an aid. But anyway, all the Peskim say there's no halacha of no gei b'davar by your servant. What do you do with this Arachayim HaKadosh? So the Shema Avraham, it's a Sefer by Rav Avraham Pilati, which we just purchased. So it's on Shilas and Shuvas and Choshen Mishpat and Baruch Hashem I had it. Otherwise, they bring it, but they don't say what he says. He says that there's a difference. The Yeshua was Moshe Rabbeinu's servant from his youth, like he was part of Moshe Rabbeinu's household all along. So a servant like that is pasul le'edus. But a regular worker is no worse than the halacha is that you can give testimony about someone if you like him, if he's your friend, or if he's your enemy. We don't say, oh, he's your friend, you're helping him. He's your enemy, you're trying to hurt him. The halacha is you can give testimony whether you're an oiv or a sonei. As long as you're not related, you can give testimony. But Yehoshua was such a misharis, he was such a worker from way back, he was not qualified to testify for or against Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what they say. But in general, the consensus is, that was just an interesting thing on the parasha, the consensus is that a worker is believed to give testimony. And that's like the Rosh Chai said in the beginning, that the Edom don't have to eat. They don't have to be kosher. Like, we have a lot of leeway here. You know, even if they were no gei b'davar, the Eruv Shai says, as long as you have decent testimony, you have somewhat decent testimony, a ragrayim l'davar, that's sufficient. So, you're right. If we have reason to think that they're trying to get this guy out, so they'll have, they'll continue their ways, so then you're right. You can't believe them. But if you have no reason to suspect any monkey business going on, so then these co-workers, or maybe even one, would be believed to give us aidus about Shimon, who just came on board. Now, suppose the worker, he's not a robber, but there's something else wrong with him, right? He's a murderer. He's incompetent, for sure, you could fire him. Now, that's Sally, right? If the guy's not working, he's not good. So then, he scares the worker, the customers away when he comes, he growls at them, so then for sure you could fire him. I you try to help him first, but, sometimes you have these bad salesmen. You can for sure fire him then. But suppose it's something else. He didn't invite you to his chasana. You don't like him, right? You don't like him. Or you found out that he doesn't go to shul on Shabbos, and you don't want to have a worker who or he comes late to shul, or he does some other aveira, not nogeya the job. But can you fire him on those grounds? Okay, so there's a chavis yoyer. The Pesach Yeshua brings down the chavis yoyer. He had a shayla that someone hired a shivcha. Someone hired a maid. And then they found out, after he hired her, he found out that she was a zona. Before she got this job, she was a zona. So the Chavis Yari said he's allowed to fire her. Why? For two reasons. First of all, if she's a zona, she's going to run away every so often and try to make money out of that side job, and you don't want her running out. She didn't say she did tshuva. And the second reason is that she's going to have people coming to the household, undesirables coming to the house all the time to meet her. Right? If she had done tshuva, she did tshuva, but she didn't. Right? But the issue here is that she could still sweep the floor, she could still, wash the windows. It's just that she's a zona. So the Chavis Yari said you could still fire her because her being a zona does impact upon your life. First, that undesirables could come, and second, that she might go out every so often to keep up her second job. So the Pischei Choshen derives from here. Why the Chavis Yari have to say that? Say, I don't want a zona in my house. Right? Why isn't that enough? I don't want a zona. I don't want someone, a lowlife in my house. So you see from here that you can only fire someone if their lifestyle impacts upon the job. But you can't just say, you don't show up to, you don't go to shul, well, I don't want you to be my carpenter. I don't want you to be my shoe salesman because, I think, well, if someone like you who does that, so you can't be a good shoe salesman. It has to be related. You can't just find something out in left field and find a problem to fire in.
What about a Rebbe who doesn't go to Shabbos?
So there's a shayla like that. Once again, Rebbes are different. It's even there's a shaila that in the that they wanted to fire a Rebbe because they said the children aren't davening well. It must be the Rebbe's not training them. So the tshuva was the Besdin saw that he did go to Shacharis and he taught them properly. And if the children aren't davening well, it's because they have Yetzirah. Maybe it's their parents' fault. You know, who says it's the Rebbe? So everything's always the Rebbe's fault, right? But you're right. If the Rebbe would, because he does that, would, you know, if he has no reason doing it, he's doing it because he's lazy, and because of that, the children suffer. So then, if that's what it will be, I mean, if it's, he does it because he needs to sleep and he has a health problem and he needs it, so then he'll explain, look, I, Tefillah B'Tzivah is very important, but I unfortunately can't because I have this health problem, and I didn't think my health problem should stop me from using my talents to teach Torah to you. Right, but if it's something that he's just out of laziness, so then you're right. That would be impacting upon his effectiveness. Right, so that's what the Chavos Yori says. This other contemporary posek brings a tshuva relating, talking about you got in a fight with someone. He says there was a maaser, there was a rav who. There are cases like that where there's people that have shuls, but they don't have time to pass in shilas themselves, so they hire someone to come and pass in the shilas. They're the rav. They give the drasha, and they get all the kavod, and the other person the other person is the dayan. Nowadays most rabbanim, that's what they get hired for, hopefully, but this one hired someone to be a dayan, a merit tzedek, and he found out that this merit tzedek was trying to undermine his job and say, look, why do you need him? Why do you pay for two people? Let me be the rav and I'll continue to pass on your shilas and we'll get rid of him. So the Beis Shlomo, the Chuvah's Beis Shlomo, Achron, Paskin, then the Rav was allowed to fire his Dayan on those grounds. Now the Nesiva Sacher from that derives that if Yistam get into a fight with someone, right, they had to find a cause why you can fire him, because it's going to impact upon my job. You're trying to take my job away from me. But if it's just that I dislike you, or you didn't invite me to your Bar Mitzvah, or you did something else that, you know, you just rubbed me the wrong way when I met you in the interview, you looked fine, but now whenever you you blow your nose, it bugs me a lot. You know, there's something that it's just that you rubbed me the wrong way, so that's no grounds to fire someone. What are you going to do? You have to learn, take a Musa Seder or something and learn that it shouldn't bother you. But that you can't fire someone just because he decided to grow a beard and you don't like his beard. Right, not that he's scaring away customers with it. It's just, you don't like his beard, he scares you. Or he became, you know, he started long payers and you don't like Hasidim Chas V'Shalom for some reason. Right? That's not grounds to fire someone. It has to be that he's taking away your job, he's taking away customers, he's impacting upon the business, that's when you can fire him. So that's like the business that's going bad and you don't have enough money to pay them, or so it's a different business now. Which means that if it's a different business and they can't do the job, then they have a right. As long as it's an onus, as long as you had reason to change the business. Well, you have to have a reason. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it'll depend on. Is it changing because right now you're making a living, but you're changing because you want to make more money? So then I don't think you have a right to do that, to take away five people's parnassas because you want to make more money. You're making a parnassa. Right, so if you want to change, right, retrain them. You have no right to, if they're in their contract now, you can't just say, because I changed now. If the business is going bankrupt, then you're all going to go bankrupt, so then you have something to talk about. Well, I'm saying you have to find out why you're changing the business right now. So then you have no right to. I don't think you have a right to fire them. You just keep in the old business and do something else. You have a commitment to these people, and they're doing the job, and they committed themselves to you. They turned down other jobs.
You can't change.
So in conclusion, if the salesman is a thief, if you have a raglai in the davar, you have some testimony, even if it might not be two kosher witnesses, so then you have a right to fire them. If it's just a whimsical reason that you have, that you think, then you can't fire him. You can trust testimony from his co-workers, from your workers. We don't say that they're no gei b'davar. If he's doing something that's not related to the business, then even if it's true, he has that problem, but it's not related to the business, it does not impact upon the business, then you have no right to ask him to go.